Blog Talk Radio.
Never violate the codes of the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep, and I would never testify, cop out for a plea, or surrender information on my boys to the police, and you could never catch me on the block without a strap, and I would never pull it out unless I'm out to black, and I could never forget my homies dying for their scratch, but ever pouring out liquor for them, God to the back, and I
in the griddle in the middle like Moni. You phony cause your style's baloney, but that rock's no filler. Ain't a girl in Cilla putting rappers on ice and lock the bodies in the chiller. The way I bust it up, I Chuck Nasty sound like throw up, blow up, then go nuts like a lady ninja killer. I throw you deep beneath the surface. It's the rays from Paige, I heat it up like a furnace. My steelo got smoke, check the gamma ray from the She-Hulk. Stomping through your territory, new rap female category winner. And your style gets played out like the spinners. Not a soprano, I alto, the rage is a tenor. My voice is just right, I bust hypodermic to get in the mind's eye. Making you hip-hop junkies wanna fly like eagles. My style short but cathedral steeples. Showing and proving even a lady can be diesel. So I break a breaker, you best keep on trucking. And roll on with that chicken shit you're plucking. You're stuck in, stupid, you doofus. I'm rhyming so hard I'm knocking out your toothless. A teacher, believe this shit, but head just get played out like Beavis. Receive it, it's sure, lyrical murderer. Bogus, I'm the dopest, lyrically the locust. What? It's so copacetic, I see through your synthetics with my telekinetics. I mean my telepathics from this mouth of madness. Flows one of the baddest in existence. My existence is prevalent, hesitant not, you'll get dropped. I'm rhyming so hard, I see you knocking outside. Cause I slam like collision from your vision to me. And you can't touch it, not even a smidgen to me. Your pigeon shit to me, so drop it, drop it. Moby, running lyrics quicker than Toby. What's my name? Yeah, you know me. Rage, lyrical murderer. What's my name? Yeah, you rage, lyrical murderer. Yeah, you know me. So if you wanna see me, turn on your headlights. I make you run red lights, trying to catch it. Slamming through the radio in the wreckage. Towed away, blowed away, cut down, mowed away, curled up like Ola Ray. So let me straighten it out, cause I'm a thriller. Motherfucking MC Cold Killer. When I cock back, you better drop that. Yo, hop back, I rock that the dawn.
Politicizing the gun. We be the ideological sons and daughters of the black cats. And we the ones who brought the days of the dark shades and alphas back. And we ain't got no problem with you praising the Lord if you wouldn't have bring the spirit of Nat back. Who we be? We be the ones with rest records longer than the average cat's rap records. By no means, this ain't no intentional shit. In fact, it's one of the signs of us being under attack. Therefore, these statistics are plainly mainly due to the state's attack. See, we the ones that don't get due credit until the state say it's safe to say it. In other words, a lot of y'all will show us some love after we long gone in the grave. But for now, many see it correct politically to only have the ability to speak in secrecy about the moves we make. Who we be? We recognize the central potential of armed propaganda. And we done raised the bar of what it is to be a diehard. In this game, we done the thing of what it is from a cat considering himself a criminal to a convict to a prisoner's conscience. Who we be? You see, we done enlisted men and women in the people's army. And our kinfolk fall from the trees, the leaves, the lights of those of Chairman Fred and Fran Fanon. We sprout from the seeds of UEP, not long, but the one that sent the sentiments to the Viet Cong. It was on the right side of the question of the U.S. aggression against the Vietnam. Man, we far surpassed the grass and then got up under the gutter. In fact, some cats say that we consider ourselves weeds. Yeah, that's us. Who we be? Man, we so financially fucked up that our motto goes that the POCC is in debt, but not dead. We broke, but not broke. Where we come from? Where we at? What's our membership? Well, we be the residue from the slave ships, and the rest of the flesh the sharks are too full to eat after we was thrown overboard. In fact, some of us still at the back of the bus. See, we the ones fighting to be free, but in the meantime, between time, looking forward to prison visits. And when we talk, you best believe that they listening. We come from college campuses and street corners. We do more for 10 a.m. than your elected officials or the Marines doing 1,000 mornings. We keeping our eyes on the prize, and we also recognize in this time and place, one can never negate the question of race. But in the same breath, we also know on this here slave ship, all black folks ain't in the same position. But we'd be remiss if we negate to mention that we still got to deal with this here class contradiction. We see theory without practice as blind, and practice without theory as a chance you might just came up and got lucky that time. POCC, what's our call? Free them all.
Live and direct, Brother
Kevin. Live and direct, y'all. He is up at. Okay. Okay. Heads up, eyes open, the fist cut. Y'all know this is how we do this here. Let's get locked and loaded for another episode of Free Them All Radio. Here, Intellectual Radio. Y'all can't. Let's take a pause for the calls. You know what I'm saying? Let's make history. Let's take history. Let's tape history. That's what it is, y'all. Good. You know? We're going to set up, y'all. Okay. Weekly program hosted by yours truly, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. and also Robert Allen, a.k.a. Lady Rays. Let's get locked and loaded for another episode, y'all. Y'all gonna call in numbers 929-477-3785 and press 1 to enter queue. And now also 708-223-8953. We coming at you, man, every which way, including loose, you know what I'm saying, the YouTube, the two cans in a stream, you know what I'm saying? Coming at you, making history, taking history, and also taping history. That's what it is, y'all. Yes, yes, a number of things addressed. These are 10 times, you know what I'm saying, the 10th time internationally as we speak. You know what I'm saying? It's hot in Cuba. It's hot in Haiti. It's hot at the Hampton House. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about some discussions about what's going on with regards to assassinations. You know what I'm saying? Attacks, attempted assassinations, you name it. You know what I'm saying? Y'all feel free to call in. Y'all feel free to come being with us. We'll get straight to it. Give us a heads up. We got the loading. You know, there's a caller coming in queue. I'll get straight to it. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get some updates. I know a lot of people want to know the updates with the curve. I initially said July 8th, approximately 1:30 in the morning, but we're going back and check it. Probably actually July 9th or July 7th, late night, approximately 11:30 p.m., 804 South 17th Avenue, regards to Hampton House being attacked. We're going to talk about that. You know, also, we're going to talk about the immediate response from the community, from the people. People are our best security. People are our best security. That's what it is. Let's get straight to it. Make history. Take history. Take history. We got to do this kind of way. You may hear us if we got any callers in queue. So I got a couple of guests. I got a couple of guests on deck with me. You know what I'm saying? If y'all, are you putting on guests in Q's Conrad? You may hear some who we got. This is our first time. You've been back with us.
Yeah.
Who you are? You got you on those. You live and direct here, there, and everywhere.
Yes, sir. Free them all. It's an honor to be on here again with you, Chairman. It's ready to discuss the topics and revisit the proposal to of the tour company so we can protect this legacy.
Sure, you're right on.
Also, I just came back from riding down with the Hampton family. I actually go put the casing over the tombstone.
Yeah.
And I got some good footage of it as well. I can't wait to share that with y'all.
Right on. Can't wait for people to see that. Real talk. We got here, brothers. Better know who you are.
Carlos Cole here, better known as Prophet. I'm here to share my experiences and things of that nature.
So you right.
Nice to meet you.
Man, good to have you here, brother. Again, welcome to Free Them All Radio. We can put you on the program. So, for those who don't know, that's a counterpart, that's a colleague, that's a family. You know, we here like clockwork every Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. Central Time, 8:30 p.m. Central Time. We have an international listener audience. You know, talk about everything going on inside the concentration camps and just the community in general. We hear consistently. 929-477-3785. Press 1 to be in queue, and also 708-223-8953. That's what it is. So the Conrad Dr. You got any callers in queue?
No, the chairman, no callers in queue. Callers, if you'd like to come into queue, please press 1. Free them all.
I want to get this.
Free them all.
Call is in queue.
Comrade is in queue. Free them all.
Can you hear me?
Free them all. We're free them all radio. Can we hear you loud and clear?
Right on. I just wanted to say something about this recent attack on the Hampton House.
Yes.
It's so many flashbacks with things. You know, back in the 60s, naysayers were saying, when we was talking about the state had a program, a war on the black community, and the number one threat to the internal security of the country was the Black Panther Party. And people would tell us, you know, what the state want to mess with y'all for? You know, y'all not that important. People glamorize revolution a lot, and they think it's, you know, getting a tam or a leather jacket or whatever hat and vest or whatever the Cubs are wearing, but they don't know a whole lot of threats come with this. A whole lot of trouble comes with this. It's just not a photo op. It's making sacrifice. And I want to say when this thing went down at the Hampton House, I flash back to when Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. had a case. And he had this particular lawyer, right? And these old white men came up in the law office. This is downtown where the white people be at. Not no more, but they used to be downtown. And this was like 11, 12 at night. These group of white middle-aged men came up into this office building with nothing in their hands, wearing trench coats, and then the laptop and the files for a case that Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. was fighting, it disappeared. There was no sign of break-in. There was some type of equipment used to enter the office. And the cameras in the building showed these same white men leaving with a laptop and some files. There just happened to be the information for the case that Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. was fighting. And the lawyer refused to say it was the FBI. I mean, they got the trench coats, mole crackers, what they doing out late at night. And then they came in empty-handed and leave with a laptop. Again, signs of break-in, no glass broke, no door kicked in. You know what I'm saying? Just these white men. They on the white people tape, the buildings tape, leaving. In this same case he was fighting, a young lady was like a clerk for this lawyer downtown. she got mugged, and her backpack was taken with the notes and the information what they had on his case. Again, working on the same case. And the third strike by the state on this was when these lawyers was over in Africa at a big old meeting. You know what I'm saying? All these black lawyers. And another attorney on the case was driven off a cliff and murdered, assassinated, also working on the case. So a lot of times people say, you know, you bop them in the head. I say you take a horse to the trough, but you can't make them drink. You bop them on the head with information that they don't believe is true. We could talk all day about the war that they have waged on us, and people stand there and say, well, I can't believe they do that. You know what I'm saying? I don't care what they do to us, the state, I always want to get a state out in what they're doing. And I'm just reminded of so many incidents, and I could be on here the next Wednesday probably talking about all the attacks on Chairman Fred Hampton Jr.'s life, the attacks on Chairman Fred Sr.'s life, and the continued attacks on our people. Unless we wake up and smell the coffee, hey, they're going to be looking for us in a museum. And it's real. It's, and just because you don't see it, don't mean it ain't happening. And I hope people come out and support it. Let me say this, too. Everything ain't bad. The community and people came out in huge numbers to secure the Hampton House and to do whatever need to be done. And I was so proud and honored of that, to see that going on. Wasn't no flyer put out. Wasn't no press conference held. You know, it was live on social media what it happened. And Stevie Wonder could see the glass wasn't kicked in. It was cut. So somebody coming prepared with burglar tools. So we better wake up and smell the coffee and get busy and stop smiling and profiling and understand that we're under attack. And the great example of capitalism on its last dying legs. You see the attacks in Haiti. You see the attacks in Cuba and the attack on the Hampton House. And the Cubs are fighting to defend the legacy of the Black Panther Party, which is constantly under attack by people even pretending to be Panthers and those who just come right out and announce they with the state. A lot of times they don't know they with the state. They think they're just doing their American duty. So I just wanted to say that and listen to the show. I know this is a great one, like all of them are, but people better wake up. I hope people come out to the Hampton House. They're going to do an unveiling of the outdoor refrigerator this Saturday at 12 noon. People can come out. And then I think they had a triple C, which is every Saturday, children, community, and Cubs following that. But that garden is looking good. You can come out and pick some collard greens. But don't tear up the garden, you know, so stuff won't grow back. But if you know how to pick, if you don't know how to pick greens, tell somebody that know how so they could show you how to do it correctly. Not that they're going to pick them for you, but I just wanted to say that. And long live the legacy of the Black Panther Party. Long live the Black Panther Party. Cubs, long live Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. and the Black Panther Party's Cubs fighting to defend the legacy of the Black Panther Party. And thank you for that time. Free them all.
Right on. We thank you. Free them all. We thank you. Again, let me show a couple. That we just honored. I was going to have Mother Comrade Akua and Jerry, formerly known as Deborah Johnson, widow of Chairman Fred Hampton, was dead December the 4th, 4:35 a.m. in the morning. I was there also with her. But for those who just coming in, just getting me brought up to speed, we're talking about the situation that occurred at the Hampton House, 8078 Avenue, this July 7th. I thought it was July 8th, but July 7th. House was attacked on a flyer for the contractor, the door of the Illinois Child Panther Party that was shot up. Late July 1969, and there were two more documented acknowledged attacks that occurred there. But that infamous scene of the door with the bullet punch marks in it, that was July 69. We know it occurred, you know, short several months after that, being December 4th, 1969. We'll talk about this here and there, but you understand. But this is a time when certain, you know, this terrible, as Chairman Mount Saint John would say, it's terrible, but it's fine. It's a time when There's the acknowledgement of, you know, certain dynamics, you know, on an international level, terms and dynamics and contradictions such as assassinations. We can look back during the Black Power movement of the 60s, where U.S. was the United States, like any other place location, did not operate in a vacuum, where it was discussions about political upheaval happening in the Philippines, Africa, Vietnam. There was discussion, there were terms such as, you know, colonialism, neocolonialism. It was, you know, it was every day. It was not, there was no sidetracking about, well, that's that political stuff, you know what I'm saying? It was, you heard terms such as the Tet Offensive in Vietnam. You heard terms about what's going on, you know, Agent Provocateurs and betrayal, you know what I'm saying? The ante was up. People, the limitations were not confined to that of the different ruling class political parties, being a Democrat or Republican, but there were discussions being happening, political prisons being acknowledged. And we in the state, we're in the stage of the game right now, where people have, they have up there, as I said before, people have to, their political muscle has to be intensified, because I think, so, well, you know, people are not ready for that, Chairman. You know, they're not really for, really, this is not a scheduled basketball game with a system, so we're what you catch up. Your political maturity catches up before you start. We start with terms such as political imprisonment, terms such as assassinations are implemented. These are everyday realities. In fact, they have been happening. And they've been dormant, or people may have, you know, utilized euphemisms such as war gangs, wars. What you see right now is what I think it was Lenin said. Lenin said it takes people 20 years to learn ordinary times. They can learn in 2 years revolutionary times. And we come up the heels of reactionary times, but the ante is being upped, where you discuss for Agent Provocateurs, you know, again, assassinations. And we're going to talk about what just occurred, you know, saying in detail more, again, July 7th at the Hampton House. Another one of the close calls, you know what I'm saying? And we just came again, just for those who just tuning in, we just came back from the grave site of Chairman Fred Hampton. He's buried at, in which law enforcement annually shoot his tombstone up every year. And there were different positions taken. Some people were saying, well, replace the tombstone. We say, no, that's, you know, we relate more to the Emmett Till tactic, the world's deceit. In so many cases, people try to euthanize or water it down or push it back. You know what I'm saying? We have to acknowledge these contradictions, you know what I'm saying? And we came to some point in which we put a case, not a covering, over it. We can still see through the tombstone, Chairman Fred, you know, saying, again, with law enforcement, and we shoot it up. And we have a statement from Deborah Johnson, that was a court area, a statement from myself. But this discussion we have to have, what's going down. We live and direct, y'all. Again, but you can tell us about, you know, the impact it had on you, you know what I'm saying, and what you thought about the trip going down south to Hainesville, Louisiana, to the tombstone.
Yeah, to be honest.
Again, let for those just tuning in, let the audience know who you are.
How y'all doing? I'm Eric Smith, just local man for the West Side. Just graduated from college this past spring, and just got up with the chairman to work to protect his legacy, honor this legacy. But like I was about to say, honestly, it was like a out-of-body experience. Like I couldn't really believe that I was there the whole time. Just, you know, and just first to mention, I was just embraced with the most warm welcome, and I felt like I was a part of the family, like a meeting. So that was just a great feeling in itself. And then once we got down there and the witness, you know, the what they do to the chairman's tombstone is despicable, and it's just kind of goes more to show like what my initiative is kind of protecting the legacy. Like that was like a literal, you know, action of protecting the legacy. And what I have planned is to continue to do that in the city of Chicago. When I got back and got to sharing, like, you know, my experiences with my family members and people who, you know, come from the west side of Chicago, where the Illinois chapter did most of their work, they were telling me, like, man, you just been in history, you was a part of history. I had a better experience. It was an honor. And, we just got to keep protecting this legacy because, like Mama Akua just said, they out trying to attack us. We got to wake up and smell the coffee.
So how old are you, bro?
I'm on 24 years old.
24, right on. Mr. Jim, I'm going to have you on deck, man. Real talk. I was also going to be following up too about the tours that we're talking about doing, the tours. We're talking about going back to the Free Medical Center site, the Black Panther Party, with the Free Breakfast Program, other programs at the Institute there. We were talking about hearing you talking about how you felt about growing up on that west side and not knowing, growing up in Henry Hornet projects and a lot of people not knowing the history. Henry Hornet is actually forced Henry Hornet from the late great Field Marshal George Jackson. Grew up at Field Marshal George Jackson, assassinated August 21st, 1971. Approximately a few days after his brother, Jonathan Jackson, was assassinated. And these real models, not these role models, it's intense that people don't know about them. So this needs to be intertwined like everyday discussions, you know what I'm saying? So we're talking about that. And brother, anything you want to add?
Yes, my name is Prophet. It's an honor to be here with you today, man. It's like a dream, man, to be able to share my adversities and my experiences. And, as I sit here and speak, I represent, the characters of some of the finest characters that Chicago has ever known. They don't need no praise from me. Their name and their fame is a birthright to those before them and those coming before all generations. It's very important what we put into the youth here because they represent the future. And though when we speak on the Fred Hamptons, the Malcolm X's and things of that nature, we telling their story. And their story is very important because they was telling us about the things that they seen, that they experienced, and the things that was to come and for us to prepare for. We wouldn't listen, you know what I'm saying? Now we have new leaders, we have new prophets. And I have come to learn through experiences that true wealth is not material things, cars, clothes, and things that we try to gain, that the government banging in front of our face and we kill each other for, and we have envy and division. So true power is knowledge. And knowledge is life, because it makes individuals up. Even or when you hear a person say a nigger, that darkness. For so many years, I have been walking in darkness, living the street life, chasing the things that was dangling in front of my face, the things that we see on TV, the things that we see in movies and things of that nature. And when it was dangling in my face, I used to reach out and try to grab it. And then when I reached out and tried to grab it, it was consequences. So the thing is here, we need to really figure out what our true power is, what our true potential is. It is said that we have, as black people, a spending power of $1,300,000,000,000 a year. Now, what I don't like about that statement there, it says spending. What I like about the statement is power. So until we realize what our true power is, we stop paying attention to all the things that dangled in front of our face, because in the stock market, they say, hey, you want to make money? All you got to do is put a high price on it. The niggas don't buy it. So that being the case, over the years, I'm 47 now, rap music and, hip-hop, our way of life, it was discouraged. The president, banned the Run DMC and all them other rappers for waking up the people, because they was bringing forth knowledge. They weren't rapping about killing and what they had and bragging and boasting and things of that nature. They was rapping about the things that our forefathers were talking about. They was thinking about a message. And that's what made Tupac great, because he was bringing about a message about how he was treating the females, the girls, how we was treating each other. And he was talking to us not in the sense about history in the way of, trying to activate nice discomfort of the powers of the be of the people. He was talking about those things because he realized what his true power was. The only thing he did was read, study. And when he read and studied, it made him great.
you're not grateful for the things that you didn't have, what somebody else say about you. You're great for the things that you have done. I love this poem. It's written by Malcolm X, and it's dealing with being an example, and I'm going to close it with this. Malcolm X said, "I would rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I would rather one would walk with me than merely point the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is sometimes confusing, but an example is always clear. The best of all the teachers are those who live their creed, who put in practice what everyone needs. I can still learn to do it if you let me see it done. I can see your life in actions, but your tongue too fast may run. The lessons you deliver may be fine and true, but I'd rather give my lessons by observing what you do. I may misunderstand you in the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live." Prophet here.
Yes, indeed. Right on. He's live and direct. Live and direct to CMR Radio. Information Radio Mixing. If you take this certificate, y'all. That's what it is, y'all. We got some, we know we got some callers coming in 2 minutes. This is test times. Someone earlier, the climate, contrast the Black Power movement of the '60s, and again, political upheaval. What's happening in Cuba? What's happening in Haiti? You know, I was just having a discussion earlier this morning on even the history of Haiti. People say Haiti, contrast between Haiti and Dominican Republic. And even though Haiti stands out by representing the first Black Free Republic, that, you know, shaking yokes of imperialism. However, imperialism has still been, you know, saying still been waging attack on this country. It's still placing it in debt, and so that's the deal we're talking about. That what's happening? I think about approximately 50 families and French families still in control of the resources in Haiti, the different forms of chemical biological warfare. We've seen the World Health Organization, when they were doing these tests with these pigs in Haiti. Then they said they were through doing the tests, and they placed the pigs in the most disenfranchised, the most starving communities. And we've seen male children being born with breasts, different dynamics, you know, in the history, like even of neocolonialism. In fact, Chairman Fred talked about Haiti, gave the example about Papa Doc in Haiti. And he said, you're talking to another group, and they're talking about the credit union. And Chairman Fred was saying, "I need to know your political education is at." And the cast was saying, you know, really, just lose somebody the credit union. You know, the credit union is. And Chairman Fred said, "Yeah, you know, we hit the credit union and laid out basic language terms. You know, cast said, we get the money, so on and so forth." But Chairman Fred said, "Again, I need to know something about your political education." Because, you know, and Chairman Fred pushed the dynamic. He gave examples, gave analogies. He said, man, you have cases, and this is lying you. We're talking about 1969. Chairman Fred talked about Papa Doc in Haiti. He said, "Man, Papa Doc in Haiti, man, you couldn't put a white people's paper for the Papa Doc." How much he claimed, you know, he hated the white man. It was successful overthrowing the white man, the Papa Doc, and suddenly became the oppressor. And Chairman Fred said, "We need to know, again, your political education. We're not just talking about the white man oppressor, you know what I'm saying? In other words, we're talking about the constitution of colonialism, neocolonialism, so on and so forth." And this is still relevant, especially the time when people talk about, you know, we can become free just with economic. And there are resources flowing through the Black community, you know what I'm saying? I mean, one way or another. But you have genocide, some people refer to it as fratricide, but genocide happened, you know what I'm saying, at intense levels, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, blatant contradictions. You know, cat come out inside the infamous Cook County Jail 2 days ago, shot 58 times. This is in front of the Cook County Jail, you know what I'm saying? And the audacity for the ruling class in the typical state modus operandi to flip the script and blame the victim and to say, well, this person shouldn't even come and get out of jail. They should be on that. This is the superintendent of police, Chicago police, said that this man should, the fact that he's getting out of jail, this is really about him being murdered. You know what I'm saying? So this whole dynamic, political, you know what I'm saying, this is the politics, you know what I'm saying, nothing less than political knowledge can be laid out. What's going down is, like I said again, they have issued that term. We add on to the old axiom, God created Africans and America-made niggas. The man's machine manufactured Chirac. We live and direct in the spirit of making history, taking history, and taking history. And deal. And when we talk about these dynamics, not only talk about the assassination attempts on revolutionaries, but again, you put in contrast what's going down in the community. Because again, the vanguard, the tip of the spear, you know what I'm saying, it may become a little more intensified. It is more intensified. But these contradictions are happening to some degree to the community in general. You go back and look at the roll call, 1969. You know, say, look at James Gloves Davis, history. James Gloves Davis, who was one of the Negro Pigs who came on assassination December 4th, 1969. Look at his history, how he was known in a couple of communities. Also, throws another gloves on. We did Marshall High School when he come through the Vice Lords, the Stones, the Vice Lords, particularly the Vice Lords and the Cyclists on the West Side. And similar to like, these recent attacks weaving us together too. The Agent Provocateur, even said in our organization, the Black Panther Party, Cubs, the informants, on ourselves. You go back and look, they have been utilized and they're being utilized on other organizations. However, we are blessed and burdened to be able to politically sum it up. What's happening? You understand? A lot of people just wore it down. Like I say, though Chairman Fred, my father was assassinated in a brutal way, in a graphic way. They attempted the system to take the attempts and successfully placed all of our fathers and mothers one way or another by shooting them down, stringing them out, locking them up, punking them out, in other words, killing them one way or another. And the deal is, that was like the other members of the indigenous community was saying, well, Geronimo or the Apaches, the soldiers say, you're making it bad on us. And Geronimo said, no, I'm guilty of exposing what's happening to, you know what I'm saying, what's been happening to y'all, calling it out, you know what I'm saying? That's a crime, so be it. We live and direct, you know what I'm saying, making history, taking history, y'all. I'll give us the ears when we get any calls in queue. Yeah, you want to sit down with us a minute? Good. This is super. We got some, we talking about different dynamics. We're talking about hip-hop and some other stuff, you know. I know in addition to your resume of the Forbes magazine, that, you know what I'm saying, other stuff that you have done. For those who just tuning in, give us the background, who you are. In person, say, you know, welcome to Free Mall Radio. I also want to say this too. I know one of the issues that we talked about. You were talking about checking too, and I don't know those who have missed it. They shouldn't have missed it. But this recent, it wasn't even a parole hearing, but the case of long held political prisoner Larry Hoover, chairman of the board, chairman Larry Hoover, case was being brought back up, and those in the state case. The co-defendants were released, and this is a clear example of his real quote-unquote crime. No logical legal justification for denying him, you know, release. Was releasing. There's been a lot of discussion about the case of Larry Hoover. We just got the word, I think it was 2 days ago, was denied. And this case, and like so many other cases in the city of Chicago in particular, you know, case of Jeff Ford, Chief Ali, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying these cases in particular because the similar I just said earlier, because that people don't want to acknowledge the political correlation to it, does not make it not political. Everything is political. Everything is political. Words, terms, fashion, you name it. And we do an extra disservice when we attempt to say, well, let's not acknowledge it, don't say it, you know what I'm saying? Because the reality is, what we do, everything from crack cocaine to chitlins to political prisoners, is, you know what I'm saying, it's political. And the deal is we have to heighten those contradictions, be upfront about it. Let's be real clear what the reality is about this thing, you know. But again, for those who are just tuning in with us and letting us know your background, give us the background, who you are, and what sort of stuff that you've been working on lately.
Thank you.
And take us back also past the generation, too, because I know that's the source. Some people might say,
But yeah, my name is Dave Mays, and I created the Source magazine back in 1988. I was a student at Harvard and was hosting a radio show on the Harvard radio station that was playing like all classical music at the time, and I was doing a hip-hop show on like Friday night, late night, and the Source ended up becoming a newsletter for a mailing list of listeners to my radio show. The show got kind of big in Boston. It was, you know, people all around the city listening to the radio show, and then that gave birth to The Source. So it was a one-page newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
We built it up for a couple of years and then moved down to New York after college.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the 90s, The Source magazine became the number one selling music magazine on newsstands in the world, outsold Rolling Stone, 9 million readers a month. Of course, The Source, you know, was instrumental in helping to elevate hip-hop and provide a platform and a voice for the hip-hop community, particularly, you know, at the height of hip-hop being really a social and political and empowering kind of movement. So, yeah, I ran The Source. I started The Source Awards, you know, produced all of those. Everyone, you know, you guys have seen, I think it was about 7 or 8 of them. But, yeah, so now I went on. I did some work with Hip Hop Weekly, helped create that, ran that for a while. And then a few years ago, I created Dave Mays Media. I actually moved out here to Chicago. And been kind of back and forth between D.C. and Chicago. D.C.'s, you know, my hometown, born and raised.
Mm-hmm.
But I fell in love with Chicago, coming out here and learning a lot more about the city and a lot of the people from the city. And I just really just felt, you know, just an attraction to be here and to want to be a part of this and to try to, you know, do some positive things out here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Greg, having you here, glad you came in to the studio with us. I was just coming just now, and, you know, just ahead of the time, and just even, just, you know, everything is political. Like, I'm sure you heard about the case. I just, this is like every day the case with young cat. I think he shot 58 times for the 50 jail. And like even the contrast, you know, times 88. When were you born, brother?
96.
Oh, wow, 96. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you like even eventually like because you say, you know, art reflects what's going down, you know, into the climate. And let me ask you, should we say a few days, like the contrast, like even now, like even with The Source early on, in fact, I can't recall what year they had, when I was in TAM, Supermax, and they had a piece about me and them. But how important do you see it as that correlation with music and the political conditions and what's going on, how, making that correlation, you know what I'm saying? Or something, is it like,
yeah, I mean, you know, to me, music is, you know, one of the most powerful influences on the planet, you know, in terms of something that can influence people's hearts and minds and, you know, emotions, the way they think, everything. So it's a very influential, you know, industry and business when you think of that, you know, of that. So, you know, you said the music and
the climate, the conditions,
the climate, okay.
On the ground, what's going on, you know, what that court, you know, is it some, you know, I mean, some artists take the position where I'm not political, I'm going to be apolitical. And then there are certain times when the ante is up, where there's a where it's reflective of their attempt to take a neutral position, or that being neutral is actually a position. You know, so you said on when you have a climate where, you know, everything, the laws, everything, you know, saying, even we talk about people who say, you know, in the case of ASAP Rocky, outside the country, got locked up.
Sweden,
you know, and where no one is, you know, saying, there used to be a time where some people, you know, who have a certain amount of resources or they can be in a bubble for a certain amount of time, but not every day, you know what I'm saying, regardless of, you know, how much finance you have, how much fame you have. No one is negated from, you know, the contradiction, whether it be the coronavirus or, you know, they're fighting the case.
it's interrelated, but some people, we got to say, you know, people become conscious or get involved in struggle one of three ways, inspiration, aspiration, or desperation. And in the case of in prisons, you know what I'm saying, the artists, you know what I'm saying, they come to grips with it in a reactionary sense, like, okay, now I'm locked up, now it's a problem. But as opposed to certain periods of time where there's a climate where not just an absolute force and the onus of responsibility on the artist, but it's a discussion that's being had. You can't dodge. You can't take a break. So I'm going to listen to the radio. And just, I don't want to hear about the police killing nobody. You know what I'm saying? And how, to, you know, how to, in the magazines and the airways.
I guess, you know, what really, you know, changed was back in the 80s and the 90s, hip-hop was still really more independently controlled. And, you know, over time, as the major record companies got more involved in different things, you know, happened, like, you know, the death of Tupac, you know, or the assassination of Tupac, you know, is how, you know, I tend to think about it. You know, so in years after that, the music industry got more control over hip-hop, and a lot more money is being made, so that gives people, you know, certain, you know, pathway to, you know, follow and to hang on to. But like you said, the responsibility, you know, it was more a part of it because it was more grassroots. It was still had much more of a connection to the streets, you know, even through a magazine like The Source, you know, because like I was saying about music, media is that other thing that influences people. So those things in my mind always kind of configured together, you know, and what I've been doing, you know, and the way I think about hip-hop and what its, you know, role can be. But as time went on, it's become, you know, dominated by commercial music business, and, you know, we've lost that connection between the music and the movement and the social and political. There's some of it there, but it's not powerful like it was, the way it was working together, you know, as the gentleman mentioned before, like with artists like Tupac, you know. Bringing this type of consciousness. So,
if I could add something, I remember when I was coming up in high school. I actually went to high school in Alexandria, Virginia. I remember Wayne, Young Thug, particularly, like just straight up dismissed the whole Black Lives Matter movement when the Mike Brown killing happened. And also another little point that you made about, you know, the music being reflective of the political climate. While I was out in school, that was when Chief Keef came out and the whole drill thing, like, took off. And that was really how I got to, like, seeing in the city while I was away at school. You know what I'm saying? Like, really seeing, like, all this, like, you know what I'm saying, guys my age really out here, you know, in the streets, and it's really, like, dangerous and vicious out here right now. And then, you know, that would kind of prepare me for when I had to come back home, because I came back home for this Christmas break and so forth.
Excuse me, could you explain what the drill, what does that mean in more depth?
Yeah. So drill scene is, I'm not a drill rapper myself, but I would just say it's music that's kind of reflective of the gang culture in the city. It's kind of like, you know, like an anthem that you ride out to, like, you know, whoever coming the hardest, whoever got the hardest diss against their ops, or, you know, something like that. That's what the drill scene is fueled by and motivated by.
I mentioned recent situations in all the science cases. How did you do? Is it common discussion, like, okay, like the case of the hearing about Larry Hoover going to be? Was it known amongst your peers?
It was brought up a little bit, but, you know, it was on Twitter, but it wasn't, like, captured the way I believe it should have been. They always try to paint Larry Hoover as, you know, the gang chief of the GDs when, you know, he was actually, like, a community staple on the west side and south side. So, those discussions were being had, but I believe that the generation right now is a little dismissive of that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's you know, it's anyone out there, it don't really sit. So, definitely.
Excuse me, what do you feel that your generation is listening to? Who is they their peers? Who is they who they look up to? I mean, what is causing them to do what they doing. That's real.
Like I said, I don't want to speak for the whole generation, but I do, you know what I'm saying, I think I am pretty aware of what's going on in the city. And right now, I mean, people listening to themselves, I would say, you know, and that's, like the chairman, I would say, that's political. The state has a lot to do with that, you know, with the infestation of crack, you know, breaking up black families. And the most recent crazy political field, which is Obama, and, you know, that how that kind of just creates like a – that would, when Obama was in office, that created like a dialed down the political awareness of the black community and, you know, kind of made people more susceptible to, you know, what's going on right now, like the attack on the Hampton House.
I'm definitely not from the teenage years. I'm older than that. However, I just say, you know, I appreciate your assessment, you know, and I respect it. Because I think it's a position as victims of this system to take an attitude. It's something that we've done on our own. Whether the type of music that we're coming out with, the deal is that it's embarrassing being oppressed. And I think we're going to drive ourselves about it. The reality is, we get, you know what I'm saying, it's reflective, you know what I'm saying, like, of the condition, like even, I don't think it's by happenstance that hip hop never really blew up, you know what I'm saying, big in Chicago. Chicago was what was like an organizational place, a structure place. In fact, Chicago was the last major city Kane was introduced into. And there were certain forces that had to be removed, you know what I'm saying? Fluky Stokes had to be murdered, therefore it had to be locked up. And one of America's policy when it comes to organization, when it comes to music, is to create chaos, then restore order. Create chaos, then restore order. It was, you know what I'm saying, and I tell you, we don't think, draw the correlation on the political significance of music, whatever, but the state does. In fact, at the federal court here, federal trial of Larry Hoover, the state actually played some of the excerpts from the Ghetto Boys music in the federal court. And, you know, so he was talking about the prison system, so on and so forth. And I recall even in Menard Prison, Southern Illinois, we, like, the Ghetto Boys tape, that we had to, like, move that underground. A speech where I was speaking, I had to move it underground. And, like anything, whether it be, again, you see the Intensified Heat come down, even just the name change from Gangsta Side to Growth and Development. You've seen like, even Willie Lord of the Vice Lords, you know what I'm saying? Initially, when he was released with Logan, it came out the front page Chicago Tribune, the headlines read, Lotta Be Al Capone, you know, the first coach, the mix, all that. But then Willie Lord came out of City Hall with us to put forward the African Anti-Terrorism Bill, one of the terrorism that our people have been subjected to under such euphemisms as, police brutality, you know, it's police terrorism, you know what I'm saying? And that, you take that stand, you see the Intensified Heat come down on. And you know what I'm saying? And you go back in the case of the 50s, the Black Star Rangers, because the Black Peace Stone Nation. And you know, since we move nationalist stand, you see that heat come down. So we're told directly, indirectly, what to say, what not to say, what music, what to put out. You know what I'm saying? Park even said, like, in the schools, you know what I'm saying? You know who to mention, who not to mention. So it's flattering to say that it's something these youth on their own just jumped up with this type of music and started saying certain things, you know. But the reality is, you know, if you want to get airplay, you don't have any niggas and bitches to sing your song with the push, you know what I'm saying? And you can, if it was just Chicago, I'd say, okay, so be it. But you can literally turn on call your counterparts in Detroit, Cleveland, and L.A., 7 in the morning. And you say, man, what you listen to? And even the video games, you know what I'm saying? So it's intentional. And power, as Minister Dewey Canoe said, power is the ability to define phenomena and make it act in desired manner. And the reality is, you say, okay, it's a phenomenon. And Reverend Nat Turner, he was a realist. He put it into the ground, saying the church was a phenomenon. You know what I'm saying? He said, okay, now, how can we work this? You know, he defined it. He said, okay, praise Lord, pass the ammunition. Harriet Tubman took the Negro spirit. Wasn't stuff. We attacked it. You know what I'm saying? No, non-independent people don't make independent decisions. So it's hilarious when people ask questions. You know, why y'all doing this and that? And you get, you know what I'm saying? People just start calling on. Why, you know what I'm saying? Well, we decided to start selling this and start doing this. You know, the police tell you to pull you over. Get more time. We want the guns, but you go to drugs. That's telling you what to do, what not to do. And we have to be upfront about that. But power, as you see, you know what I'm saying, in the 50s, the
movement of the other end, where Marvin Gaye was able to go against Barry Gordy, you know what I'm saying, Motown Records. I'm going to put this song out. You know what I'm saying? What's going on? Whether you like it or not. He had the support of the people. It was a climate. James Brown had a whole totally different song planned at first. He wasn't talking about, I'm black and I'm proud. A-Trap Brown, I know she managed to let him literally rolled out on him. You gotta go back to the studio with the God that you're talking about. He came, he didn't pull that straight put in the Rocky movie with the way one of these draws was on Living in America. Fast forward. A lot of people just think, you know, Kanye West said this about George Bush, I like black people, and he just had this on some business. No, we shut his ass down and bought his bookstore, north side of Chicago. 8 hours before you said that shit. You don't have to be up there. You'll be surprised. Oh, you got damn right. See, movies, you see, dog wag the tail, tail don't wag the dog. And they give our people, they give people an impression that the music dictates. You know what I'm saying? Malcolm X was doing an interview, and the guy said, well, now, what if Jackie Robinson disagrees with your position about violence? Malcolm X said, hold on, wait a minute. We don't be quoting no Bob Hope or no mail. I'm going to vote for your people. You know what I'm saying? It's a wrong, but see, wrong. Is the wrong? Wrong was strategic. They had a special gallery that run an entertainment store. You know what I'm saying? And then Hill Huck is a kind of is a spokesperson. You know what I'm saying? Well, you don't see Bob Hope is no spokesperson for the community. You know what I'm saying? It's a role it can play. That's what the Black Panther Party Cubs had, the code of culture. We said, that's the 20 motherfuckers and things. He was catching throwing some bling bling. We came on Dave Chappelle's block party. We wanted to just want to shout out my homie. We played the case of political prisoners. Against a lot of people, we said, man, you should be doing it. You should be saying that. You know what I'm saying? Anything. You know what I'm saying? We up there. Sean had a song. I came on them up. Talk that Panther Cub political appeal to them motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? But issues. Not bombarding with the abstract conscious thing. You know what I'm saying? With the deal like part. You know, you put it in there. But it got to be tied to some political organizing. This can't be just, you know, this thing. This just the music. This just the streets. This just the entertainment. The football player, movies, everything. We had a Richard Pryor talking. I was talking to Miss Education this morning. So my whole thing with Richard Pryor. Richard Pryor was impacted by the Black Panther Party. So Richard Pryor called him, what's the name of the lounge? Or the hookah, some lounge that they came to. He invited Chairman Fred to come to the lounge. He come down there, Chairman Fred, the Panther Party program to him. He donated $1,000 to the Free Breakfast program. You know how this narcissistic, arrogant motherfuckers run out so they got all these resources and we wouldn't do no support for the struggle? The comedian Nipsey Russell, talking about he got my mother. She's on finance committee. She wouldn't go talk to him. She's 7.5 months pregnant. He said, she come up here talking about donating to the Panther Party program. He said, I ain't giving no money for no gun. He said, shit, I put a little money up on the Free Breakfast program. Yeah. See, but as I said earlier, a lot of times people come to it in a reactionary sort of way. Like, oh, you know what I'm saying? Like, he turns more than me black. He turns more than me black. Michael Jackson, the person gonna make a difference between black and white. When that case come down the tool chain, they don't care about us. You know what I'm saying? So the heat has to be on and consistently that people are organized and recognize everything is political. Your terms you say, the music you say, all that is not this subjective. A lot of times people have in this climate too. Like a lot of y'all, like I say, even in the movie, Judas and Black Messiah, that was intentional that we had certain scenes. That was the first time a lot of cats even see an organized, that scene when he walks up to the door, that structure. A lot of cases never see the organizational question. You know what I'm saying? The thing when they go up into the group of crowds, even you didn't see no bodies or other people. I watched all the cats who can't go to a meeting with them. You know what I'm saying? They're individuals, you know what I'm saying? See, all structured. Like, you know, David Ruffin, you know, and it's contradiction. However, it's a structure that say, man, you understand that your actions impact others. You know what I'm saying? And it's like even this organizational question. There was a time when cats couldn't just pop no motherfucker. You just couldn't shoot no motherfucker. Because your action, what you did, can the repercussions come down to Stateville. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no just no clicking on this one block. You connected to some other joint, you don't even know. You know what I'm saying? And the repercussions come down. You might say, I want to get this dude. It's a structure. Structure identifies stations outside of bullshit. Chicago hat, it was known for, you know what I'm saying, for that. And one of America's policies is to create your order. And I can't have no frame of reference, like even the terms. We don't be ego tripping when we say Chairman Fred. It's a structure, checks and balances. You know what I'm saying? I'm in Indianapolis the other day. Told the young brothers, vice lords. I'm telling the importance of our structure. See, when a police pull up on you, if he got his shirt on button, he say, hey, man, what happened, Joe? He can be physically in shape, but you lose respect him, you know what I'm saying? Because when he comes with that uniform on, it's connected to a structure. You know, so this is what the judge going to do to you. You know, you're going to be making up for the project of your ass. What, you know what I'm saying? Structure. Our communities have been destabilized. You know what I'm saying? You don't even know who is who. That's intentional. They implement new policies in the prison. They would come, they would shut us, bust the joint down. They would move us around. When I grew up, I could walk the block. I can tell who was in which particular cell. You know what I'm saying? But now, it's destabilized. You know what I'm saying? And this goes back to, okay, what do you got to do with the case, man? What do you got to do with all this? Everything's political. What do you got to do with hip-hop? We got to do with the drugs in our community. It's structured. It's certain. Like, if the party has, pastor party has party, you know, policies and rules, but you say, you don't get high on duty. A lot of cats come from a arena, they say, well, you shouldn't be getting high, period. You know, okay, that's, you're in some sort of utopia world. We deal with the real world. And these different organizations are able to look at, relate to certain cats. You know, I told some cats across in Chicago, you can talk to a cat, you can have no colors on. You talk to him for 2 seconds, you pick on what you try to be associated with. And it works for him. It's conducive for the ecosystem. See, there's a big thing going on right now. You're talking about in Minnesota in particular. How people have been flushing these goldfish down the toilet. Well, ain't no thing. It's just like it's my toilet, my goldfish, I can do it. However, they have to fuck the whole ecosystem up now. It's a big thing with these goldfish. It's in the water. It's also no. So now you got these goldfish. They out there with complex. You know what I'm saying? So they got to eat. So they out of range now. They big goldfish now. Mm-hmm. It's also the ecosystem. I was telling my cousin, we trying to play with Panther Party Legacy. You was chairman for your name. You was his name. Bogus ass groups.
Yes, sir.
How's the fucking ecosystem up? There's a place for you. You know what I'm saying? They got so far of organizations. Get in your lane.
Yeah.
You up on the expressway with your saying? Well, I feel like just walking down here. I don't feel like walking down the street. It's too crowded. The crime's too bad. You walk on the expressway, you up in the ecosystem. Cars crash, they be like, how did this happen? Some dude walking on the expressway. How did this happen? Oh, they coming in with some Panthers. What? They don't fit the Panther protocol. They use a Chairman Fred has a name. That's not no, you know what I'm saying? It's a street organization. You know what I'm saying? There's a certain that's the GDs, man. Them BDs. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, because it's so subjective, you know what I'm saying? They're not concerned with the circumstances. They'll come back and use it. They'll grasp these cats' lyrics or whatever, throw in front of, you know what I'm saying, TYG, the chairman there, who's named parole board, and he's going to, you know what I'm saying, say, well, these guys say, with this organization, the Panther Party, they're going to grasp these cats and throw them out there to justify who they really want to attack. Structure, you know what I'm saying, you connect, you know what I'm saying, like even, I remember a case one time, and so the last name was Hampton. I said, where part of your family from? She didn't know. We just it's so there's a lot of times we teach them what we call the culture national. We need to do about us in Africa. I said, where you been at? These cats don't know what the connection with these people down south. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that whole structure, you know what I'm saying? It's not a coincidence. Chicago. Chicago has the most military academies in the country per capita. Right. It's not about coincidence. You have a whole new creation of, it's a whole different crop of people. Like in Iraq, under George Bush Senior tenure, at one time in Iraq, over 78% of the population was under 17 years. So you had a whole generation reactionary. Most people don't know what the fuck happened before them. You know what I'm saying? I commend y'all. I took the action. A lot of times, young kids come like, this is for only about nothing. You know what I'm saying? If you knew about that, you know what I'm saying? It's important. Because there's nothing happens. Nothing happens out of vacuum. You know what I'm saying? So they have a frame of reference. We live and direct here at Freedom Hall Radio, making history, taking history, and taping history, y'all. Again, the climate is hot. Haiti is hot. There have been assassinations. The Hampton House is hot. July 7th, there was an assassination attempt. In those words. Yeah, I'm talking about 2021. Yeah, live and direct. I'm talking. Yeah, I know everybody talking. We got black elected officials, so on and so forth. We talking. About, it's really, man. It's hot. In Cuba. It's hot. When you see the President of the United States, somebody you want to encourage the people from Cuba that's doing great, putting the cables on their back, you know what I'm saying? Anytime, like I told y'all before, when the George told me this lawyer next to me was the best lawyer I could ask, oh, he got to go. I said, if you like him, so you see the U.S. come up, they come in with having the Cuba, you got to be heads up, you know what I'm saying, real tough. You talking about, look at the history. Go back and check out the history of man coming out there to the other castle. That happened. The Bay of Pigs. All this stuff. This ain't nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. Correlated. We live in that red. Comrade, give us a heads up. We got any callers in queue?
Free 'em all, brother chairman. No callers in queue. Callers, if you'd like to come into queue, please press 1. Free 'em all.
Free 'em all. Now, I know, listen, y'all, make sure y'all call at 929-477-3785. I will be getting some cases, calls on some cases, people locked up. Just be the time, you know what I'm saying? Georgia, some stuff going on, you know, so at those concentration camps, y'all feel free to call in. We're talking about also, you know what I'm saying, the cases, you know what I'm saying, regards to T. Malik Chairman Larry Hoover, you know what I'm saying, recent denial, and this is on a federal level, you know what I'm saying? Many of you remember the case on the state level. And this was the C numbers. Oh yeah. I am self-critical. I know I missed the annual C number. You got to go out there too.
Yeah, I was there.
Right on, right on. You dug it?
Yeah.
Man, right on.
Good energy.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, the C number, annually, these are guys and women who have been locked up under the old law. C number is supposed to stop in 1978. This is the indeterminate sentencing. And like the numbers, in Illinois, you have a D-dash, but the C numbers, when you roll here, like in Larry Hoover, I think we're sitting for 100, 300 years. This is the indeterminate. Kind of like the move down in Philadelphia, where they had the indeterminate. You're going back in front of parole board here. In fact, we had some people calling last week because there's some struggles to bring it back. I have some issues, and we're still pushing for it, because you got to be real careful with that parole board here, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of stuff, it looks good in theory, but you know what I'm saying? I know we want to make sure we go like the king side of it, because you know what I'm saying? You go back and look at the stuff you may take for granted. Okay, well, who's on the parole board? You know what I'm saying? And you be like, wait a minute, how is the same police that locked me up, his brother, is on the parole board? You know what I'm saying? So you cannot take nothing for granted. I see your question, Cuz O'Key. I'm gonna get with you right now about the Crips, right on. C number, they meet every year, so those who miss it can come next year. I spoke in Indianapolis, but Ike Taylor, so many other, you know, so many forces, man, that was there. And this is the background there who was case to in the state case. Many people may remember, don't remember the Pontiac 17 case. The Pontiac 17 case, this was 90s. I'm talking about even this climate, what's going on now. There was a climate uprising was happening. It wasn't uncommon. He come out, like, you know, and it wasn't no whispering. It was uncommon. Man, what up, man? Shout out, what up? You know, it was like, it was resistance. I'm talking about, you had to, man, Attica, you know what I'm saying? Folsom, you know, I'm just talking about, well, man, this city, rebellious uprising happening everywhere is going down. So the political climate is a different dynamic going on, you know? And so Pontiac was his only own. We go, it's a Thunderdome. Stateville was like nucleus, the brain center. Pontiac was like a Thunderdome. You go in there, get it in, get it in, you know? And 1978. The uprising that happened at Pontiac, you know, but welcome, please welcome, Pontiac, the uprising that occurred in Pontiac, cannot be isolated just the prison itself. You had people on the outside community fighting, how can they work on these cases to assist these brothers in the cases. You had a different climate. You had William Thoreau, author of Civil Disobedience, who says that in an unjust society, the only place for a just man was prison, as opposed to later on, there's so much damage done to the point where people are saying, well, I ain't got no mama, my daddy gone. And the people was killed for the purpose of prison. So when uprisings happened, it wasn't no, what did y'all do wrong? And Larry Hoover was on that case at Pontiac 17, and not only Larry Hoover, was in particular, I think it was also a combination of brothers of them, different street organizations, and that attack. And you know who also was a prosecutor on that case? The former mayor of Chicago, Mayor Richard Daley. He was a state attorney on that case. Daley Jr. was a prosecutor on that case, the Pontiac 17 case. Yes, indeed. Yes, and we live and direct. My brother, you on speakerphone? What's happening, my brother? You live and direct was on Free of My Radio. I don't know if I told you, but the radio program we do every week. My brother gave passed his phone, what you wanted. It's your brother I grew up with, man. A lot of love, respect for you. You got an international listener audience. I don't know how much you heard. We have some legends in the building. Man, you know what I'm saying? Man, we love you, legend. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to give us a little, you know, background, who you are, you know what I'm saying? And you know, what you got going on, the airways are open, my brother. I was using Solomon. Solomon, man, how should I do this?
Either way, brother. Both of them.
Different audience, they're going to hear, you know what I'm saying? They're going to hear their name. They're going to be like, okay, you know, man, when King Solomon, the China man, from the era I grew up in, this is Free on My Radio. They can hear you loud and clear, man, so you feel free to jump in. I'm just saying, while we do it, man, so feel free, any comments you want to throw in, just jump right in. So I get the phone right here by the mic, you know, so you see. I'll just flash it back to some days we had as youngsters, though, man. But we talking about the current climate, the deterioration, the attack on structure and organization, it was happening in our community. We talking about the attack on the Hampton House recently, especially July 7th, the assassination attempt. We believe on my life. We talking about the assassination, you know what I'm saying, that's happening in Haiti. We talking about the discussion in Cuba, to the music. We talking about the slant. We got the founder of Source Magazine here. We got a young brother here, Eric, you know what I'm saying. He talking about he just came back from the trip with Chairman Fred is buried at. The Tombstone. So we not, you know, so we ride, man. We ain't, you ain't saying don't go down that street. You know what I'm saying? Don't make no left here. We in the alleys, gangways. We ain't set tripping. We in New York, Chicago, IET. You know what I'm saying? We all over the world. But, you know, so we got we tying it back in to you know, saying the politics of it. So feel free, yes, jump in where you feel in, my brother.
Okay, all this way. How everybody doing?
Well, this is.
This is a blessing in life. This is a magnificent opportunity for me to speak with this audience. I'd like to introduce myself. First, I was known in Chicago as Chinaman. I grew up on the south side of Chicago, Inglewood area. This is where I met my brother here, my comrade. we have to change, you know, we have to really come to grips on what's going on. It's a shame, it's sad, you know, but I got a voice. I got my brother Chairman Fred here. Whatever I can do with my influence to reach the youth, with anybody that we're going to listen to what's really going on, what's really happening, you know, we got to find a way to keep ourselves from the graveyard and the prison system. We got to stop that.
Mm-hmm.
We got to find solutions to keep our people, matter of fact, not just questions, to everybody, every sharp mind in this opinion right now. How can we keep our people from the graveyard and the prison? Tell me, please, and I'm willing to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sacrifice my life if possible.
We
got so much
illusion, the kids without
the graveyard and the prison.
Please. Yeah, man. Yes, man. It's, go ahead, see. Go ahead.
I'm sorry to say, to say that I'm a product of this madness. Brother Fred is telling you, I did a full tour of the system. Juvenile, county, state, and now the Fed. I did a full tour. So now since I've done that and I'm alive and well and standing strong, you know, I'm willing to stand up to fight against the injustice and the trickery that it's cool to go to the jail or it's cool to be involved in criminal activity and all this. Man, this all it is trap to knock your head off. That's all it is. You know, we have to find another way. We have to find another way to create success in our lives. We got to find another mindset. You know what I'm saying? To help our children and teach our children, mentor our children, you know, this stuff is not cool. It's not. You know, take it from a man who just spent 24 years in a mandatory life sentence in that madness. I prayed to God that I was to be released, and he did it. So I come out here with a message to let everybody know we have to come up with a new system. The system here that we're doing, it's not working. We got to come up with something else.
Excuse me, brother Chinaman. When you talk about what we experience, because I was at your side, in this solution, we experience one love. Speak about what I mean by one love when, the D.C. Boys and said and how we all came to we all came together as a whole. And how you couldn't tell the difference between a vice lord, a GD, a SD, et cetera, all because we had to prepare for adversity. But I'll let you finish that true story up.
Oh, yeah, that's a magnificent story. I say 2001. I came in the system about 97. By 2001, we all got word of the federal system that the D.C. brothers, now, these brothers here, you know, I got to give them to them. I tip my hat to them, y'all. If all your D.C. brothers listen, I tip my hat to y'all. Y'all is some of the strongest and the most magnificent, softest brothers I've ever met in my entire life. Matter of fact, some of my best friends now from D.C. To speak on that, y'all had a reputation, and D.C. had a reputation of really as oppressors. Okay, that's what we call them. You know, oppressing, you know, because of y'all lifestyle, the D.C. lifestyle coming up, they had a prison system called Lorton. Lorton, I think, it had roughly about 25 prisons on one compound. It housed some of the most dangerous, violent, treacherous brothers you ever can name.
This is the federal system, correct?
State?
Okay. Right.
They call it the
D.C. Yeah, I'm with you.
Lorton, man, it was 100 years. Been in prison for 100 years.
Right.
crime,
yeah.
Yeah, so what happened was, I'm going to tell you, because I was right there, the CEOs and the administration and the feds was terrified for these brothers. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about Commonwealth.
Okay. Say the last part again, Steve. My fault. Say the last part.
Yeah. The administration and the Fed sent the word out to everybody that the monster was coming into the system.
Yeah.
You hear me?
Yeah, I'm hearing you. Yeah.
So, you know, we already heard stories about these brothers, so we didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
So, the top head, they sent word down for us to consolidate our unity with each other, so we knew each other.
Yeah.
So we all got together and consolidated all of us. We said, between us, no more fighting.
Yeah.
No more arguing. No more doing none of that. Actually, the D.C. Yeah. brothers entry to the federal system was the benefit of us.
But from Chicago. But the prophecy, you said us, but who are you speaking about?
Us, I'm talking about every organization that's on the five-point star and the six-point star.
Mm-hmm.
GDs, Spice Stores, Black Stones, Corporate Stones, Latin Kings, Latin Folk, any organization that's from Chicago is under the five and the six.
Yeah.
Was a blessing to us.
Yeah.
Because what they did was, the way they was talking, the way they blew them D.C. brothers up, how they going to come in the system, all that stuff that we went through with each other in the streets went right out the window.
Yeah.
And not only that, when the head, you know how Chicago is. Chicago is known for structure and organization,
yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, correct.
So when the head sent the word down for us to get together and unify, That was all right. They made that a right.
Yeah.
You understand? So we all got together and said, you know what? We're going to do it. And we did it, man. And that was the best thing that we could have did. And when we came together, bro, we created, all of us together, man, you know, created a structure that was unstoppable, that was powerful.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So when these brothers came in the system, when they finally made it, we was already ready. We was already organized, put together.
Yeah.
So when they came to the system, they did their thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If wounds was weak, they oppressed them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And every time they tried us, we always stood up and let them know, it ain't going down this way, my brother. And they honored it and respected it.
Yeah.
You hear me?
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something, man. I tell everybody, man, I wish that I went to D.C., instead of going to Rockford or any other town, I wish I was with the D.C., man, and gave them brothers structure on how we move and under love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice for real.
Yeah.
But I always got this, man. I'm talking about the true essence of organization to be there for your brother. You know what I'm talking about, Fred?
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
You know,
no
to bring people from the dark to the light. Because these brothers, man, are cold-blooded structure. I tell you that. They are the only group of brothers, man, who when people fear, man, and then also the every brotherhood too. You hear me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They call them the DC Black, that they call them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's the documentary on that?
Yeah.
The DC Blacks, man, didn't play no games when it came to that race car.
Yeah.
You know? And when they seen us, bro, we became some of their best friends. And I learned a lot. From the brothers. They're just cold-blooded soldiers, man.
Mm-hmm.
That whole area in D.C. and that Lorton was a jungle, and it created, man, the survivor brothers, man, that they go anywhere and make it, man. You hear me?
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
I remember when we used to leave the yard and things of that nature, we used to scream out, one love, one love. We used to do security for each other. We used to watch each other back. In a crowd, when you used to see Vice Lords or GDs, you no longer seen that when we made that coalition. You've seen crowds with Vice Lords, GDs, SDs, et cetera, et cetera. We were the only organization that was respected so much that the white shirts, captains, ward, and all that, they let us do our thing for the simple fact. What I mean by doing our thing, they respected our structure. When one of the brothers got out of line, we disciplined them. So when we on the second floor and a guard walked by and they hearing that boo, 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 they keep on walking like they didn't hear nothing. Why? Because we was disciplining them.
The next thing is they was coming in our rooms looking for the literature and things of that nature. What gives them so much power? What gives them so much strength? The same thing what they did with Fred Hampton's father, you know, trying to infiltrate. What gives the Black Party so much strength, so much organization? So me just as a representative, you know, I handled all the lawyer part, et cetera. I say, I told the leadership, I say, hey, let's just get into the literature, all besides our chain of command. So they can start coming into our rooms and things of that nature, and it would bring them, give us more respect with them. Because I knew, as being the literature teacher, that there's nothing in my reading and the study of our literature and laws, what we was created from the start, will be a detrimental to the running of the institution. Once the leadership took all our literature down to the SIS, that's the investigation department, and we told them, hey, tell your people to stop going in the room, shaking us down and things of that nature. Furthermore, when you see security on this person, tell your guards to don't be having their security called to get packed down. Why? Because you see, when these soldiers is on their security, they laughing in you inmates' face. Why? Because we got 200, 300 soldiers. Y'all got 100 fat boys who are out of shape. And y'all know y'all can't do no work because we train to go every day, 5 days a week. Why? Because they done checked in the guns and the knives at the front door at the gate. So you got to be trained to go. The same thing that Fred Hampton claiming on the boat, saying, hey, listen here, ain't no more being abused and all that, turning the other cheek. Y'all ain't turned the other cheek.
We live in the record for CMR Radio, making history, taking history, and taking history, y'all. Real talk. We got some legends in the building, man. You know what I'm saying? Y'all feel free to call in. But if we say call, feel free to club in with us. I got a comment on here, too, on this. Fremont's comment. I got the official comment.
We have a call in queue, Brother Chairman. Call at 346.
Welcome to the room. And don't let me forget, because we definitely get the West Coast question in too. But okay, go ahead. Welcome to Fremont Radio.
How you doing? It's Tyreek down in Atlanta. I'm Big T.
Right on.
How you doing, my brother?
Okay, that's what it is. Yes, welcome, my brother. Talk to us. We didn't see you. BT gave his head. You be calling in. Yeah, give us an update. The case was going on.
From Georgia. My brother got locked up in Mississippi, and he got caught up in the riots that happened down there, and he in a coma, and they won't give my mother no information, and they won't let him go, and it's been going on for like 2 years, and she done talked to a couple of lawyers, and like nobody could get through, and so we just in limbo with it. She done went and seen him a couple of times.
What's his status?
Yeah.
Is he conscious now? He's conscious now.
Well, he wasn't breathing on his. On his own at first, so nah, he's still in a coma, and they won't let him go, and so we just don't know what to do. It's like they hiding something. They said he fell off the toilet, but we know that ain't true. So we just in limbo with it.
Want to give out, if you can, I want to hear the 2 or 3 prong tactic with this, if you can, bro. I want to definitely get his name and ID number, because as we said before, one of our campaigns was the One Prisoner, One Contact campaign. That serves a myriad of purposes. Correlation to like a tactic that Adolf Hitler did in Nazi Germany was his first victims in the gas chamber was those who did not receive any mail, And like in Illinois prisons right now, now, prisoners who've been dead over excess of 10 to 15 years, but the state still gets paid for them because there's no accountability. So, one, I want to include him, I want to get with the One Prison, One Contact. I want to encourage all our listeners, all our viewers, you know what I'm saying? Again, I need those letters coming in to him. You know what I'm saying? This ain't no it's my homie, whatever. You have to stop putting stuff in the context of war. So I want his name and ID number. You got a contact on Facebook or social media contact, we'll put out some calls, in particular down in Mississippi, we got any legal assistance or attorney that can, you know what I'm saying, aid assistance on this case right here. We need y'all assistance on this stuff. So we'll give out his, his one, his name, and his name and contact, the ID number. If we can get that.
Okay.
Your social media contact, and we want the full name. I want to give me that right now. I can use the most that too. I need is why you give. In the meantime, you give us that. If you can't give us the contact, listen again. We need one person, one contact on this ASAP. Direct to him, and also put out the call for some legal assistance. And also, third, I don't know how it's set up there. I can't think. I remember last time we had to bring back on the speed. All the men, I need to know that particular area, that hot spot. What's the political players? Who's name? Like, in other words, when they say, man, such and such, he's been known to these calls, what have you. Like, we went in our south with the Graves and the Cameron Fred. They rep met us to get a resolution around that. I need to find who's the hot name down there. You know what I'm saying? And also when the next election coming up. So I need those three things. Give me those two now if you can. If you gave me all three right now, that'd be good. But give me those two right now if you can, brother.
I can give you his name is Edward Miller. I had to get it, find his number. And I'll get everything to Big T, all the info.
Big Edward Miller, I need the prison, the contact, the ID number. So I need everybody to remember this name. I need those letters going in ASAP. They study who's getting mail, who's not getting mail. I need a contact person. I need commitment also. Just consistently check back in with us. At least on the film already. I'm gonna take some more interviews up for you also. Yeah, for those just tuning in, he's in a coma. He's still in a coma now.
Yeah, he's still in a coma. He's still, and he was there for like just a probation violation, and he was about to get out in like 2 weeks, and then that happened, and now they won't let him go. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. We own this, brother. We own this. Again, we need that. We need somebody. We call in on a weekly basis with us. We own this. We need the ID number. So we can send a call sign in directly. Edward Miller. You know the prison. You know the prison name.
Yeah, I was the name. It happened where they got the lawsuits out on them. It was a big thing in Mississippi. Well, that same prison where all them brothers died at, he got caught up in that. I gotta look for all the info.
They closed Parson down. They closed Parson down.
Yeah, he was in Parson.
That's where he was.
Right. That's
where he was. I got you. Parson. Notorious history. I think Sandy Hame was there too, I believe. Yeah, he was in Parson. I think it's a whole year. I got to connect.
Yeah, he was
in Parson. I'm gonna connect you with the media. Major media contact. You listen to the show. You got some good contacts in the studio with us too. You know what I'm saying? From all sides of the board, and say everybody listening in to you right now. So get that. I'm gonna get the contact for us, so we can move on this. You know, so ASAP. Get that. And your name, Edward Miller. Listeners, Parson, tell your name in, tell your ID number. One person, one contact. If you can, Big T gonna be in contact with me. I'm saying get that social media. For you,
just
be updated with the campaign.
All right. Okay. I'm gonna get everything to Big T. Thank you, my brother.
Man, brother, anytime. We at your service. We live. We live and direct on film already. Yo, making history, taking history, taking history. Y'all listen here. Hey, it's something else, man. I just came from Atlanta, man. You know, and I, man, listen. I've been through some going through some stuff, right, man. Look, on another note, man. Some of this kind of service. I had a scene. at the scene, man, it was like reflective of the movie, the scene with Tammy Fred and William O'Neill's character and Bobby Rush and like the stuff in the car. I had a situation like this, man, and this stuff is like, this attempt at the Hampton House. I'm, hey, man, listen. And I was in the north, they gave me the nickname Deja Vu, you know what I'm saying? Because, man, it's, and I'm going to say this too. After Hampton House was attacked July 7th, I thought July 8th, July 7th. The scene of the people coming through, if, you know what I'm saying, reading and fixing that door, it was reminiscent of it, the scene in the movie when they came through to fix the headquarters up. And my comrade, David Fillmore, said, man, all right, champ, we'll keep on going through these kind of scenes. And last, you know what I'm saying, because he'll keep on going through this here. But it's some intense times, you know what I'm saying, but we'll keep on rumbling. We'll keep on running. We live and direct, y'all.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Cameron, I'm letting you know co-host is in now.
Huh?
Co-host is in now.
Hello,
got a prior engagement. So I'm in here now. Bring them all.
Okay, that's what it is. Right on. Bring them all. We bring you up to speed. Yeah, the brother just got up now. We're going to be updating on his course, Edward Miller. That was in part.
Yeah.
The case is in prison. He's in London. Yeah, and we've been traveling the globe. You know, he got letters on the property. You left out? Okay, yeah. China Man for Streets. He been calling me at the history and everything. We got, man, everything. Phenomenal update from the event because of the People's Pilgrimage. I can't get that. The People's Pilgrimage. We got Dave Mays, you know what I'm saying? Legendary Dave Mays. I mean, I was surprised, young brother, he went back there, you know what I'm saying, far, like, you know, the source and everything. Cause, knowing that that's good, get him in the building. You know, so we again, mm-hmm. y'all making this and taking this and taking. So, comrade, any more calls in queue?
No more, brother chairman. No more callers in queue. Callers, if you'd like to come into queue, please press 1. Free them all.
Free them all.
Free them all.
Chairman, can I?
Yes, sir.
Propose.
Please. You bring on the speed with it.
Yeah. So
I want to, because even could we talk? A lot of people talk about it, but we have brought this up about the tours of the sites and how it impacted you, not knowing certain sites, and you know, saying, and I just say, oh, talk about how bad it is. The proposal that you come back with, that's what Brother Eric will give us now.
Yeah. Mm. So this project will adequately address the lack of proper respect and recognition paid to the legacy of the Black Panther Party on Chicago's West Side. There are three main components of this project. First, we will write an advocacy journalism piece that will critically analyze key events from the assassination of Chairman Fred Hampton and the end of Black Panther Party political activity to today, mainly in the Miles Square area of the Near West Side. We expect to uncover exactly what led to the erasure of the Black Panther Party's legacy and the work from the spirit of the community where they serve. Once the piece is published, we will advocate for a physical sign or plaque to be placed at the locations of 2337 West Monroe and 2350 West Madison Street. We intend for these markers to properly recognize the significance of the BPP's tireless work at these locations to uplift Black consciousness. Lastly, we will establish a tour company where guides will show Panther historical sites on the West Side. The tour company will utilize the BPP's practice of heightening the contradictions by having guests observe the juxtaposition of what used to be and what is now. Tours will be guided by local Black youth during the summer. Preserving this unique history will help mitigate the effects of rampant gentrification, or land grabbing as we call it, thus enabling future generations of Black youth to be proud and inspired to take action in their community.
Mm-hmm.
So that just kind of lays out, all the three initiatives of the project, and just wrapping it up with the tour company, which will hopefully, you know, provide employment for the Black youth out here.
Right on. What are you proposing? We got all two buses. We got another bus. What is your vision?
I was envisioning it as being like a bike tour, or we could get a tour bus too. But I just really wanted it to be led by our people and take place in the community where we at.
Okay, right on. I got some people on the room. They're pushing the ASAP. I like There's some other cats doing a bike too recently. I like that, but at the same time, too, I want to the older cat. You know what I'm saying? They get the connection. So that yeah. And that bus we do, we get that bus. That bus that loans us a bus. We doing something right now too. I'll put this out while we have the audience. A retreat from Chirac and Murder. They call me with Murder Woods now. To down to 45 minutes outside of Chicago to like the farm area, you know what I'm saying? So that same bus can be utilized for that.
Okay.
Also, this Saturday at 12 o'clock, we'll be doing a ribbon cutting for the community refrigerator at the Hampton House, 804 South 17th Avenue. And we encourage you to come on out there, get the vegetables, pick the vegetables that's going to be going on at the Hampton House. Come on out there. We're going to have a large showing. Send a message that, you know what I'm saying, attack, we're still fighting back. You know what I'm saying? We still getting down. So that's this Saturday. Okay. I'm speaking of something this Saturday too. I can't recall what it is though. And let me get on this brother from the West Coast. He can keep on tapping here. I want him to be like, man, y'all tripping, y'all talking all about this DC, New York, Chicago, ain't talking about the West Coast. I see you, brother. Real talk. But let me commend you. Right on. So let's matter of fact, hit me before Friday. I got another some other people gonna throw this thing in. I'll call it other kids too. The big, don't y'all forget August 30th to 29th. August 29th, Proviso East High School. Put my slug in, let y'all. They finally gonna acknowledge Chairman Fred. Yeah, out there. It's gonna be a hall. They make an official. That's August 29th. August 3rd, we got the annual Chairman Fred's tree party. That's what they call it. Now, West Coast, what it do? Okay, now remind me the question. Okay, I know it's talking about the Crips. Okay, now give me your question again. Because O'Keefe, right? That's the same viewer, right? Let me break up the speed. We just asked about the question. I think the Crips from Tip. Okay. No. Are you from Charlotte? My fault. North Carolina. Okay. Okay. With the Crips. I got you. Okay. So what was the okay? And the question. Okay. Like yeah. Did you put the question before? Because I see. We've been fortunate to have representatives of not only the Crips but the Bloods also on Freedom on Radio number of times. There are many similar dynamics. Now, you know, like California has the largest prison population, or Chicago, Cook County has the largest jail. Things like even with the those Constitution as opposed to literature, the Crips and Bloods, and also just wanted, like, while we're talking, just Club and Community Condolences. In fact, we just talked about Saika Shakur's death the last 2 weeks ago, a.k.a. my monster, Cody. How you feel about it? In general. Okay, because we can say the question. I guess how do I feel about the Crips in general? Organization is important. And it's not a similar sentence I just put out just now in regards to Chicago about structure. Right, exactly. And it was a big fight. What was his man, L.A., around this time? It was fighting about trying to even detain the word to reform. There was a big discussion about that. And the deal is, this is a concern. That we should have any dynamic when we talk about music, movements, organization, what have you, in regards to going to certain arenas, because even language is important. The people say that's not a big deal, but the terms, you know what I'm saying, there's a big fight about that. Tom, what's his name? L.A. I almost said it. So I see his face. I see the face. I can't. Watch. I'm like, I give this to my grandma on my mother's side. Once her man stuck on it, gonna be all that. Bradley, there you go. Right on, Bradley. Bradley. The big thing about that, about like even the acronyms, you know what I'm saying? And because O'Keefe in particular, right on. I had my sister just told me, right on. This is your pal, right on. So. The dynamic of that's the heart of the question. I spoke at the funeral services. Well, actually, we had went to the Murray Park. I was with Stanley Tookie Williams, who, of course, didn't even have the same birthday, December 29th. And I recall funeral service, and not just, you know, it was one brother that grew up with him, and there was some other entities that was having an issue with him speaking. I said, well, this is a constant contradiction, you know, saying, I mean, a brother I grew up with, damn, ironically, Johnny Man known too, I came in for his funeral, and I said, damn, and they try to take that even self-determination with you, even in death. It was that grew up in a climate to so many people were deprived of such an organization as the Black Panther Party. And the deal is, not because the movement, I'm glad you asked the question, because not because I have the incorrect narrative that we're on, that we're trying to make everyone a revolutionary. You listen to Chairman Frey, I've actually been before the words. Chairman Frey said everyone's ready to commit a revolutionary act in their life. Some point of unity. Is not, you know what I'm saying, because there's a difference between a revolution and a war. A war is two occupying armies where you suit up and you boot up and you get out and begin out. A revolution, on the other hand, you gain the minds and participation of the masses of the people. So at some point, unity, case in point, example, Vietnam, where they referred to the propaganda bombs. They would drop these bombs and the leaflets would pop out in particular places like Saigon, where a lot of black soldiers were concentrated at. And the radio show will say certain things. You're like, well, why are you over here fighting? You just killed Chairman Frehamp. They just killed Dr. Martin Luther King. And the organizations had to have some point of unity. So you see, like, now on the history, like even the Slaughters, our apprentice, Bunchy Carter, who later became deputy minister of defense for the Black Panther, Los Angeles chapter of the Black Panther Party, who was subsequently assassinated January 17th, deputy minister of education, John Huggins, 1969, on UCLA campus. So Bunchy Carter, the preacher of the Slaughters, later on, it was the Black Panther Party, but however, there were certain forces. It's important to look at the different dynamics of music and artists pre the party, pre revolutionary movements, and say, okay, now you see the Stones, the athletes, you know what I'm saying? The Crips, the Blood, you know what I'm saying? And but also, the Crips, also, like a lot of organizations that void, you know what I'm saying? In fact, it was some good points laid out in the documentary by the ambassador of the party. However, I do say I had an issue with the title of it. I had an issue with the title of it because the deal is it implied like you hear terms like bastard. It insinuates that so that the fathers want you left them, you abandoned, you know what I'm saying, abandoned them. And but the party did not die away. The party was just military defeated, it was attacked, you know what I'm saying? And so they're void. And because the deal is, organization is something that's going to happen. Like in Chicago, has been known for that, and it's not some sort of, like Tanner was talking about it too, not just out of your own volition. Like, whoever you're colonized by, you're impacted by that. Like in Brazil, the drum, the beat, it spills something. Because the Portuguese, in particular, never made the drum illegal. North America made the drum illegal. It was outlawed. You know what I'm saying? Certain dynamic, like the organizational questions, you know what I'm saying? It's a reality. And that is something, you always put stuff in context of what location you at, you know what I'm saying? And this is something that when you had a discussion to put in context. And I know, I'm glad you pointed out to the truth that you're in North Carolina, because it's nothing like I say, like, like policies, and you say, okay, certain things can fluctuate. Like, you know, like even the Panther Party, you always know there were certain things that can still, this can occur here, but there's a general, you know what I'm saying? So even the Chris, you're a different location. I don't press this comment. This actually requested, come on, if I do this thing, I'm messing this whole line, and be mad at me, because y'all know me, I'm still stuck with two cans of string on technology. I'm going to try this, though. You guys, come on. I'll catch it. Is you guys, come on, or is this you? You might have pressed no mistake on that mistake. Yeah, you did on mistake in front of me, y'all. So, Grandma,
we have caller.
Let me catch you up.
We have caller 661. Thank you, Grandma.
Fremont, how are y'all today? I'm doing well. I actually called last week. This is Dee, and I'm just glad you're okay, Chairman. My husband woke me up from the studio, and he was watching you live about what happened at the Hampton House, so I'm so glad you're okay. And I, that's what I wanted to call in because I just feel like, especially for our generation now, where now we're becoming more conscious, it's the voices when they get silenced. We already are prone to indifference. And I just don't want to see that tilt back to indifference and feeling like there's no difference that can be made. So I'm just so glad that you're okay and you're still out there and helping the brother about what's going on with his fam in prison and just that you're just still here pushing through and stuff. So I definitely appreciate it. And I was listening to your comment about the Crips, and it's crazy because when I first moved out to California, one of the first people that had got released that we were helping out down in San Diego was actually Monster, was actually locked up in San Diego County where we were at. And he was telling stories about how growing up with Sookie, and that was the first time I had really heard that side of the culture, the family, and kind of tying that into the Black Panthers and things that were going on in California. So it was interesting that you brought that up because that was one of the first stories I heard about coming out in California. So I think a lot of people don't really understand how important like the revolutionary culture was and how detrimental it was when it just so abruptly.
Man.
You still there, Colin? You still there? We lost her.
I think she's still online. Oh, we lost her.
Her call dropped, yeah, Mother
Kim. Okay, well, thank you for the concern. Let me just for the record, I don't want y'all no foregone conclusions. Thank you to my best security. Thank you to the people. Thank you to the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a real talk. I mean, thank you to the people. Revolutionary love, respect, and appreciation. Thank you. More and more information is coming out. And sometimes I got to put on what I do personally. You know what I'm saying? But I owe it to the people. There's more stuff is going to come out, you know what I'm saying? And I am a microcosm, I guess, or, you know what I'm saying, you know, what's going on in our community in general. So we're going to be updating y'all as we go. So, again, thank y'all. Man, I am honored to serve. Thank you to the people, you know what I'm saying? The check-ins, the call-ins, calls have been coming from the streets to the penitentiary, some of the names I mentioned, leaderships, you know what I'm saying? They're calling, checking to make sure we all right, we good. I'm not taking it for granted. I appreciate it, you know what I'm saying? As an owner, you know what I'm saying? Brother, one time called me, donated, said, I'm putting up, I'm putting some more dogs over there. So we got the Hampton House house. He said, I'm putting some more dogs over there, sir. So thank y'all, man. You know, so thank the people, real talk. You know what I'm saying? It's an honor to serve. Something she said secondly, I wanted to respond to. Chris and Blood, it was something she said. Oh,
by the
these organizations, and nothing was detached from being impacted. One, you know, I remember 2002, they had a players picnic or something. And I know we were going, and they were like, man, we ain't going that damn thing. And one young lady, she say, oh, they going to just the business. We going. And so it was Columbus Park and Kohar Crucial Complex. You might remember that. You know, we went up to the thing, and it was like antagonistic. You been up here?
Not in the last few months.
We got connected up for you. Yeah, man. Kohar, you dig? That's my man. And we were talking about the role of one of the chief ministers addressed the stage about political prison stuff. And one of the players there, Minister Seymour, he said, now, how do you know that we entered the breakfast program? I said, listen, man, dialectical materialism. Hey, no, y'all kids, well, I grew up on the west side of Chicago when I was sitting in their breakfast program. And so this day, one time I spoke, she said, she's the blood out of Harlem. She said, I learned about Osama Shakur through my literature. The black gangsters, their impact about it, talking about how, you know, the relation to the party, they put the history of Hannibal in their literature. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Larry Hoover was quoted, this was no speech laid out for him to do. Y'all know he put a microchip in the business pass. He was quoted saying the Panther Party was one of the most progressive organizations, was the most progressive organization of the 20th century. The party, its impact, its connection to the people, You know what I'm saying? I'll be on going on, you know, give examples with the Crips, the Bloods, the Vice Lords, you know, you name it. And that interwoven relationship with the artists, with the community, with the people cannot be downplayed. And that, the brother's question earlier. We draw the lines. We say what Linda said. We see you, the situation, how you view the state, how the state views you. We up the ante. So the lines cannot be just regulated to just East Coast, West Coast, Scorpio, Capricorn. But that, whose interest do you work in? Who do you relate to? That of the state and the people, or state or the people. With that being said, y'all, we got to keep our ears up, eyes on the fist clench. We need your relationships to be taken from some of y'all that call it. With me, Abu Jamal, with Chelsea Q. McGee, Larry Hoover, Jeff Ford, your brother, your cousin, who's down the street, Edward Miller. On our minds and hearts, and so what's it called? Free them all. It's been an honor. It's going to be an honor. Let's continue to make history, take history, take history. Again, y'all, we need to see y'all live and direct this Saturday. And if you have not donated, make sure you go to Cash App, $ Save the Hampton House. SaveTheHamptonHouse.org. And keep up there, you know what I'm saying? Go bring that best resource, yourself, the people. Come on out to 804 South 17th Avenue to the programs we do. Keep your heads up, as with this clinch. Let's make history. Let's take history. Take history. Same time, same station. How they say in church, Lord willing, the creed don't rise. We on deck, y'all. That's what it is, y'all. What's called? Free them all.
Yes, sir. Free them all.
Come on, take us out. We'll be back. Y'all, we see y'all. Make sure y'all take this show. We post it. Let us know it's live and direct. Legends in the building. What you got to take us out with?
Well, I let you guess who it is. But yes, indeed. We coming back for everything they owe. Sure.
Imagine if we could go back. Actually talk to the motherfuckers that came. I mean, the first motherfuckers that came in the slave.
Excuse me.
No.
We back for everything you owe, no longer oppressed. Cause now we overthrow those that place us in this rotten mess. Molest the real strategy and pick our enemies right. Who stands accused of being abuse, my own kind of wise part. Not disregarding what you thinking, but you must abandon ship. Cause once I rip your whole shit, it's sinking. Supreme ideology, you claim the whole. Claiming that we all drug dealers with empty souls. That used to set me to roll, commit to violence in the midst of an act of war. Witnesses left silent, shadow. Black talent style thoughts I throw. It remains in your brain, then of course it grows. Maybe even your babies can produce and ride. Picture a life where black babies can survive past five. But we must have hope. Quoting the reverend from the pulpit. Refuse to turn the other cheek. We must defeat the evil culprit. Lace me with words of destruction and I'll explode. But supply me with the will to survive and watch the world grow. This ain't about talking about problems. I bring solution with the restitution. Stipulated through the Constitution. You violated now. Back to haunt your nights, listen to the screams of the lives you sacrificed. And in case you don't know, ghetto born black seeds still grow. We coming back for everything you owe.
How do you plead, Mr. Shakur? How do you plead?
How do I plead?
Yes, sir.
How do you plead?
You know how I plead.
Come on! Not guilty on the grounds of insanity, it was him and me. Busting at my innocent family, say they looking for keys. I was home alone, blind to the prelude. Busting, talking about where is the Quaaludes, what you say, fool? Where in the hell is the search warrant? No feedback is what he uttered. Before he screamed, nigga, motherfucker, drop me to my knees. I proceed to bleed, suffering the rain of blows to my hands and knees. Will I survive as God watching? I grab his gat and bust in self-defense, my only option. God damn. Now they got me going to the county jail. And my family can't pay this outrageous bail. Try to offer me a deal. They told me if I swear, move me and my people to a mansion in Brazil, not me. So this is how it ends, no friends. I'll be stressed and they just repossess my bitch.